Harry, you've been reading from the start of your book, which goes on to detail the extraordinary migratory patterns of the curlew. But along the way, I imagine you discovered so much more about the complexity of the entire environment and the way they're connected to it, didn't you?
Yes, that's right. In fact, in one way, the hardest part of writing this book was knowing when to stop researching and when to start actually writing. I could have written a book three times or four times as long as if I could have. There's so much material. The book started with a question that I asked myself, which was, given that these birds migrate such vast different distances over so many different countries, how have they impressed themselves on the culture and the cultural lives and the stories of those countries? And I wanted to find out how they had, if they had at all. The answer I found was not very much, to be honest. But in the course of looking into that, I found out about the incredible destruction of habitat all up and down the migration route that is pushing these birds, eastern curlews and all sorts of other migratory shorebird species, towards extinction. And so the book became a story about that as well, as and in addition to what they mean to people and what they might have to tell us about the world.
Well, as they say, in the microcosm is the macrocosm always, and we start unpicking one little piece of our environment and we find it's intimately connected to so many other pieces, don't we? So what did you find was the biggest single threat to birds like the curlew today?
Unquestionably, the biggest threat to migratory shorebirds such as the eastern curlew is habitat destruction. In that passage I just read, I talked about learning to see mudflats and learning to see the value in mudflats. It's a thing that we're not very good at. Even in Australia, we consider ourselves quite proudly to be, you know, a coastal nation. Most of us live along a narrow coastal strip. We enjoy the beach, we enjoy the sea. We have a very, very particular idea of what kind of coastal environment we appreciate and value, though, which is, you know, wide, golden, sandy beaches with surf or deep harbours. We don't really put a lot of stock in wide, shallow seas with intertidal mudflats on them and all the animal life living on and below that mud. We see it as wasteland, much like the prairies in the US or the basalt grassland in Victoria, where I live, have been seen as just empty space to be cleared and filled in. These kind of featureless, or supposedly featureless at first glance, featureless landscapes, they don't announce themselves as insistently as forests or mountainscapes, but they are in their own way just as beautiful and just as important to the ecosystems that they support.